And now, we are about to share with you what has absolutely got to be the most unique Christmas play you will ever hear on the radio.
And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
I'm Duke Munson, and I'll be playing the part of Isaac.
I'm Fred Hummel. I'm the angel.
I'm Keith Greenwald, and I'm Simon.
I am Bart Crawford, and I am Abel.
And I am Franny Oldham, and I'll be playing Sarah.
I'm Carrie Crawford, and I'm the narrator.
I'm Jacob Crawford, and I'll be playing Ben.
I'm Pastor Casey Smith, and I will be Asa.
A very long time ago, shepherds sat around their campfire at night. They were camped outside Jerusalem, bringing flocks of lambs for the Passover Holy Day. Shepherds were the lowest caste in Israel. In the time of Jesus, they were uneducated and despised by the rest of the populace. Let's join them as they eat their evening meal.
Isaac, hand me some of that there stew before I haul off and hand you a lump.
Sure, just let me put on some face paint so I can look like a woman. Get it yourself, dope.
You know, Abel, I was a-hearing a while ago that Isaac was calling you stupider than a stump. I said you weren't. I told him straight out as how you were every bit as smart as a stump.
Isaac, hand me some stew before I starve to death.
Get it yourself, and no one else get it for him. That boy has got to fend for himself.
I remember the time when poor old Jude couldn't get his own stew no more. His old lady just bumped him on the hay. Done everyone a favor.
Isaac, hand me some stew, I tell you.
Abel, why don't you get it your own self?
Lost my bowl.
You what?
I lost my bowl.
How in the world of wonder did you do such a thing as that?
Will someone get him some stew before I put him and us all out of his misery?
Get one of them women folk over here. They wanted to come along so bad they can work a little. Sarah!
Aw, Ben, they never get to see the big city. There must be 2-3 dozen people live in Jerusalem.
2-3 dozen? How about hundreds?
Hundreds?
Yep. And that's not all. They got themselves priests in that there city, and Pharisees, and even some other funny-looking fellers, too.
What's all that commotion about over there?
Abel needs a bowl so he can have some stew.
And I need to be bothered about that? I was just milking old Caroline for breakfast. Poor, useless, no-account, helpless, degrade. Here's the one I fed the 6 sheep with. Now, don't lose this one, or you're going to have to go down the river and make it your own self.
Thank you very kindly, Sarah.
Shut up.
So, fellers, I forget. How much did we get for our Passover lambs last year?
We done all right, Asa. This year should be better. I sure hate taking these lambs to Jerusalem, though. I hate sleeping outside. It hurts my poor old bones, something awful. I can't wait to get till I get home.
Ben, if I had your wife a-waiting for me, I wouldn't be in such a hurry, bud.
Why? What's she like?
Well, she's just as big as a barn door and twice it as hard. I heard she wrestled a mule once and won.
I tell you she did. Won us a milk goat at the fair.
Say, fellers, I was reading just the other day.
Reading?
He can read. He reads good. I seen him do it afore.
Say what?
I seen him do it afore.
I was reading about the Passover in Moses' book.
Putting on airs tonight, ain't he?
And I was wondering what for that was all about. Killing the lamb and painting its blood on the doorpost and such.
Ah, that stew was good. I've been hungering all day. I was so hungry my stomach was thinking about eating my gizzard.
As I was a-saying...
I tell you, I was so hungry, I was a-contemplating eating just one of my little toes for a snack. Or better yet, someone else's toe. When I looked right careful at Ben's little toe, though, I gave it up.
Will you be quiet? Now, what for was the lamb at Passover?
Didn't your ma ever tell you about Passover, or your pa?
If they did, I don't recollect.
Well, it's like this. Our nation was in slavery to Pharaoh, and Moses, he done led them out. God done the plagues, though. You know, the darkness and the river turning to blood, and the pitchforks falling from the sky?
I surely don't remember that there one.
No matter. You can look it up. Now, as I was a-saying, the last plague was the angel of death walking through Egypt and a-killing Egyptian firstborn babies, cows, crickets, and even peoples. Revenge of the Egyptians killing our babies, don't you know?
Give me strength to get through this here, sir, without killing someone.
The lamb was a sacrifice for our nation's sin, just the way the lambs have been since Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, you fool!
No matter. Lambs are pictures of the Messiah who is going to come and pay for our own sin. Because, like in God hated Pharaoh's sin, he hates our sin too.
Where all did you hear all that, Ben?
I went up to the temple last year, and this old guy, Simeon, was preaching on the steps. He explained it all real good. He said he'd been waiting 42 years to see the real Lamb and Messiah. If he's still there, it'll be 43 for him, I reckon. At least I don't think the Messiah done come yet.
No, I didn't hear of it if he has.
I still don't believe Isaac read no book.
Be quiet. Say, what's that funny looking light in the sky?
Choir. To the east. I see it too. What's in that light? Something moving?
Lord have mercy.
It's a man.
That ain't no man. Not up there in the sky like that. It's a...
Fear not!
I think I'm gonna go see if the sheep need tending.
I said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
In a manger?
A Savior?
The real Lamb of God promised us?
Indeed. God's own Son, actually.
And we can go see this here Savior for our very own selves?
Yes. That is the very reason I came to you.
Could us women folk come too?
Assuredly, madam.
Do you suppose we ought to look for Ben?
By all means, bring Ben along. Now listen.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
Where'd they go?
Back to heaven, I reckon, or off to find some other shepherds.
I ain't never seed an angel before, guys.
Of course not, you next. None of us never seen an angel before.
Why for do you think he came and told us?
Fool, he wouldn't just come and tell us. He must have been telling everyone. We're the last folk he got to.
Busy night for him, hey?
Go get Ben before he breaks something on him in the dark.
Ben.
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 Come on, Ben.
It's okay, Ben.
Come on, Ben.
We got something to tell you.
And so the shepherds did go and find the baby in the stable. To their surprise, they were the only people come to visit the little family sitting in the straw. They worshipped the newly born baby and left. Since they were the only people that had seen the babe, they went swiftly to the temple in Jerusalem to announce the arrival of the real Passover lamb.
I'm telling you, we did see an angel.
No, no, son. I'm sure you saw something out there in the field.
But it was an angel, a messenger from God, his own self. 10 feet tall, with a voice like thunder and a face like my ma's when she's riled.
You might not have been quite that big, Asa.
What would you know about it, Ben? You were hiding in them there prickly bushes.
I'm still finding prickers in me from looking for him.
I seen him, just like the rest of you. And I did see that baby, too.
And what exactly did the angel have to say to you, my boys?
That the Lamb, the Savior, had come, born in a stable not far from here. Finally, the baby that Moses promised.
And the one Isaiah promised.
And Ezekiel promised.
He also called him the Messiah. And that their angel even said he was the Lord.
And all the other angels started singing and talking and carrying on so as you couldn't hear yourself think. It was like a women's sewing party.
Hey!
The other angels. How many were there?
Oh, scads. Hundreds, maybe.
And they were talking? Saying what?
They said that God wants to give us all peace because he has goodwill toward us.
And they were singing also?
I think there was singing.
Asa, I disremember any singing. I think there was mostly talking and such.
My children, what do you know of these things? Leave the study of the Holy Scripture to us. We will let the nation know when to welcome the Messiah. I'm quite certain he will not be born in a stable.
Yeah, go home, you silly shepherds.
They're turning away. They dasn't believe us.
Well, what can we do?
Go back to the lambs, I guess.
But we know what we saw. The real lamb's been born. He's here.
Yup. And I'll tell anyone who asks what I saw tonight, believe you me.
Why, Ford, do you suppose they won't listen to us?
Well, I think maybe the folk here in the big city are just too comfortable.
Do you suppose that might be why that there angel came to us in shepherds?
Well, I ain't sure too comfortable out at camp with them sheep. My back hurts every day I get up.
No, I mean to say that we shepherds don't have nothing easy. I don't know about you, but I've been ready for some good news for a long stretch now.
And you know what, fellas? If there was a Savior born in a stable, that means he ain't too good for the likes of us folk. Maybe that's why the rich folk didn't get too excited when they heard about him. They want a fancy Messiah.
Maybe that Messiah will love folk like us when he gets growed up. Maybe he won't have no heirs like that fancy Dan that just laughed at us.
Probably so.
You know what, fellas? We was the only folk in the whole Plum World that was invited to that there stable to see that child. Think on it.
It's been a long time since anyone picked me for anything. And I'll let you in on a secret. I ain't exactly perfect. I surely depreciate them angels picking me tonight.
I tell you what, if you're too comfortable, like them city folk, to hear about the real Lamb coming to save you from your sin, you're just too comfortable for your own good.
Wouldn't it be something if that there Messiah Lord picked folk like us to help him again when he grows up? Maybe my boys could serve him some ways. A Messiah Lord and us regular folk are helping him. Think on it.
Maybe if that there fancy Dan had a change of heart, the Messiah Lord could use him too.
Maybe.
I think I need a snack.
Well, there's some soup left. Eat it up and I'll make you some more. My boy's been out all day hunting. I hope it brings back me a nice little prairie dog or a wolverine or something and we can have something different to eat.
I'd be proud to finish off your soup, but I busted your bowl when that there angel showed up. I sort of fell on it.
Abel, if and I didn't feel so good about that baby Lord Jesus himself, I'd break this here walking stick right over your head.
Now, Sarah, the Lord his own self didn't get born tonight so's we could argue. Mind what that there angel told us the Lord wanted for us.
Peace.
Yep.
Thank you. you all. Tom, if you'll come and lead us in our next song.
Thank you, Duke, Fred, Keith, Bart, Fran, Carrie, Jake, and the pastor. Everyone, please stand. We'll just be doing the first verse.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night, holy night divine.
You may be seated.
And again, welcome to our services. If you're just tuning in, this is WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM, and we are enjoying Christmas together here, and Christmas is only a few days away now, and we're so glad to have you celebrating it with us. Hope that you heard our Christmas play. If not, it will be on Facebook in a little bit. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we now open the word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and caring about us. We thank you that you came to shepherds, and we thank you that you come to rich folk, and we thank you that you come to all of us and cared about all of us enough to come for us. We do lift up, Heavenly Father, all the folk that are lonely or discouraged or tired, all the folk that are listening today. Some who are traveling, some that are stuck in their home, some that can't get out. We pray, Heavenly Father, now speak your peace to their hearts. We pray in Christ's name, amen. So, after all that, what did the angels say to the shepherds? They said to the shepherds, you can be born again. Remember that the covenant that God offered Abraham was to Abraham, but also to all of his children. So the angels were coming to those shepherds who were poor and uneducated and the lowest part of society. He was saying to them, unto you is born this day a Savior. Their clothing wasn't so good. Their job was pretty hard and low-paying. They didn't have any money. They had poor educations. They were not particularly clean. And of course, some of them had a pretty awful sin life. And yet God was saying to them, you can be born again. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Read with me verse 23. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. He is on his way north, and he has met a Samaritan woman at the well. And so he says to her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, remember that when Jesus talked to the woman at the well and asked her for a drink of water, she said, "What are you doing talking to me?" Because, again, she was a Samaritan and Jesus was a Hebrew and a Jew. And remember that she had then the wrong heritage, the wrong culture, the wrong Bible. They had the Pentateuch, but they rewrote the Pentateuch. It was not an accurate version. That they had the wrong temple, and she tried to argue with Jesus about that. They put the wrong temple in the wrong city, and they had a wrong theology and a wrong God. And Jesus yet said to her, "You can be born again," when he said, God's looking for people that really want to worship him. And that's all he really cares about, is if someone wants to worship him. You can be born again as well. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, and starting in verse 38. Peter is talking to Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman. And he tells him that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, Peter's talking to Cornelius, and Cornelius is, of course, as I say, a Roman, and he is part of the Roman culture. And, of course, Rome had borrowed a lot of their culture from Greece and Rome and Persia, and all of the cultures back in that day that were godless had awful cultures. They, in the sense of immoral, you know, and the message to their culture was, have all the fun you want, do anything that you want, any time you want, with anyone you want, as long as it doesn't threaten, you know, your marriage. You can fool around with a slave, you can do whatever you want with a boy, you can do anything you want, as long as it doesn't threaten your marriage. Threatening the political marriage was about the only thing that people would look down on. And so Peter is saying to this powerful Roman centurion who had been taught to obey his lusts from birth, he was saying to him, you too can be born again. Even though you're not a Hebrew and you've never been a Jew, you don't have a Bible, you've never been to the temple, you don't know who God is, you don't know who Jesus is, but you can be born again as well. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Now we're turning backwards here, but John chapter 3. Jesus is talking here, verse 1, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Well, I think that Jesus looks through his fibs, because the Pharisees didn't think that he was a teacher come from God, unless something else. He's trying to trick Jesus. He's trying to infiltrate here. He's trying to get on Jesus' good side and find out who he is and what he's doing. That's why Jesus doesn't respond to that whatsoever. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, now again, in contrast to the shepherds, he had wonderful clothing. In contrast to the shepherds and the Samaritan and the centurion, he was a Hebrew, he was a Jew, he taught Bible, he gave offerings at the temple, he's offered sacrifices at the temple, He tithed the salt and the pepper that came into his home. He did everything. He prayed in the marketplace. He prayed in the synagogue. He prayed at the temple. He did every possible thing that you could do to be a religious person, and yet Jesus had the gall to say to him, "You must be born again." Despite all of these things, you, Nicodemus, too, must be born again. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26 now. Acts chapter 26 and verse 23. Paul now is defending himself before Agrippa. Agrippa is the grandson of Herod the Great. He is the son and the uncle and the nephew, son and the uncle of the Herods that we see throughout the scripture, crucifying Christ and killing James, and he's from that family. But Agrippa, as one of the Herodian family, was welcome in Rome. He moved among the rulers of the earth. He was, again, cultured and powerful and had all the status you could possibly want. Verse 23, verse 22, "Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." And as he made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you're driving yourself crazy. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things," because he's had a Jewish teaching. "For I am convinced that none of these things escape his attention, since this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." It could have been translated this way: "I am the son of a king, and you're trying to persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today, might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for the chains that I'm wearing." Paul said to Agrippa, the mighty that moved among the rulers of the earth, "I wish you were born again." Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38, "For I am persuaded," Paul says, now as he writes, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What did Paul just say? He just said, "I'm so glad I'm born again." You see the progression throughout the New Testament? You can be born again to the lowly shepherds. You can be born again to the member of a cult. You can be born again to a Gentile that's never known anything but pleasure. You must be born again to the religious person that's thought he was worshiping God all of his life. "I wish you were born again," to the mighty Agrippa. "I'm so glad I'm born again." Do we respect the guys that said this? Do we respect Jesus and Peter and Paul? They have all just concluded us all under sin. As Paul wrote, "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As most of us, as most all of us know, Phil Robertson was in the news this last week and he was doing an interview with GQ magazine, a men's fashion magazine. And so why they interviewed him, I don't know. But they wanted to interview him, and so they asked him some questions. And so he quoted this verse, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And the fur flew, because he had dared to say that there are some sins that God does not approve of. And he dared to include one sin that people really, really want to do, some people. And because they're doing it, they really, really want to justify themselves. But Phil quoted most of the whole verse. There's not just one sin that God doesn't like. There's all kinds of sins that God didn't like. You know what Phil said? By now, do you know what Phil said in this verse when he quoted this verse? He was saying, you must be born again. You can be born again. I wish you were born again. I'm so glad I'm born again. Because, you know, Phil knows what he's talking about when he talks about what kind of a life this is. Because Phil was a drunkard. Phil was an extortioner. Phil was not a good father. He did drugs. He ran a bar. And when the owners of the bar came and said, how about our rent? He beat them both up, man and wife. He had to leave his wife for a while, and she lost their life savings because she had to pay for his court costs while he was running away. Finally, there came a day when Phil said, I can't handle being a father and a husband anymore. Just go away from me, will you? Let me sin in peace. Until the day sometime later when he came back to his wife and said, you know, I can't find peace and I have nothing and I can't take this kind of a life anymore. And she said to him, you need to talk to the pastor. Remember that guy that came, wanted to talk to you, and you threw him out? You need to go find him and talk to him. And so Phil left, and an hour later he calls up and he says, you need to come down to the church right now. And she and the kids go down to the church, and there's Phil standing in the baptistry tank, standing in the water saying, come on, come on, come on, I want a new life. You see, when Phil is talking about this verse, he's talking about himself. Read verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And Paul can say that himself. You know, he was a murderer and he was an extortioner. You know, if you say anything that I don't like about Jesus, I'll have you killed. And so Paul put the emphasis here, and Phil merely agreed with him. But look at verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. What's Paul saying there? Well, Paul's talking to the shepherds. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't even matter that you are the children of Abraham. Doesn't matter if you have nothing, doesn't matter what you've done, you must be born again. Don't listen to the society that would say to you, you can't be born again, you can't be God's kid, you can't have glory and honor and dignity. Don't listen to that. Don't be deceived. He's writing to the woman at the well who was a member of a cult. Don't be deceived by that cult. Don't be deceived by that wrong Bible, by the wrong theology, worshiping at the wrong temple in the wrong city. Don't be deceived by that. Only the Word of God is the way to life. You can't add to the Bible. You can't rewrite the Bible. You can't ignore the Bible. You can't go get a new Bible. You can't dig in the ground and find a new Bible. Don't be deceived. There's only one way to heaven. He's saying to Cornelius, yeah, you're important, you're powerful, but your powerful is nothing. Don't be deceived because you have power and influence and money now. It doesn't matter if you're important. It doesn't matter if you have status, if you're teaching here or running this or you're living there. It doesn't matter. You must be born again. He was saying to Nicodemus, do not be deceived. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to pray prayers. It's not enough to give offerings. It's not enough to be baptized. It's not enough to do these things. Don't be deceived by this. He was saying to Agrippa, don't be deceived. We have so many stars today. When they walk in a room, people go, oh, who's that? Or baseball players, or all the many famous people that we have. And if you know, if you took a poll, most of these famous people would say, man, I am really something. I have it all. I am the bee's knees, as they used to say. I don't need God because I am cool. What's Paul saying to the stars and to the movers and shakers of the earth? He's saying to them, do not be deceived. You need to be born again. Everyone, poor or rich, smart or dumb, cool or uncool, needs to be born again. All of us hate that because nobody likes to be told, you're not good enough. All of us want to think, we're okay. But we're not. We're born sinners. We are born enemies of God, and we must be born again. You see the tie that I'm wearing? And some of you know what this tie is. Some of you haven't seen it before and aren't sitting close enough. And of course, the radio folk have no idea what it is. This tie was bought for me by some little girls in my last church, you know, some 20 years ago now. And their mom told them, you know, we don't have a lot of money, but every year I'll let you buy one gift for one person that you like. And so one year I was their pastor, and so one year they bought me this wonderful tie that shows Goofy. And Goofy's going like this, and he's going like this, and he's going, ah, you know, and of course, this is completely appropriate for a pastor to wear wherever he's going, hey? And from 100 feet, it's fine because nobody can tell what it is. But anybody gets closer than 3 feet and they go, good gracious, what's that man wearing? Why do I wear it? Because it was a gift of love. It was a gift to me from them because they cared about me. Because they knew that I cared about them. Christmas is God's way of saying, you need to be born again. You can be born again. I wish you were born again. Christmas is God's way of saying to them, I love you so much. I joined you in your hurt and in your sinful world, so that I might lift you to my side. That is the point of Christmas. Christmas is God's gift that I want you to take with yourself through the coming days and weeks and months of this next year. Don't think about the people that don't like you. Don't think about the people that won't talk to you. Think about Christmas and God's amazing gift. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and your word. We thank you for this season of love. Heavenly Father, help us to accept the love that you've offered us. Help us to love the people around us. Help us, God, to make Christmas this time when we think of others. Though we're disheartened, though we're hurting, help us to minister that we may have purpose and joy. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.